helping students in medicine not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichert, National Director of CMDA's Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director of Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. Well, we have started a new season, Season 3. Now, I know this past year or so has been wonky. Obviously, a lot has been going on. And in terms of our schedule and getting episodes out, it's been tough during the thick of the COVID pandemic in the last year, 2020. But we are setting our sights high. We are looking ahead as we start Season 3 to get out 2 podcasts a month because we know how important it is for us to have these conversations together, for you to be able to be encouraged, equipped, and enlightened, really, by the kind of guests that we have on this podcast. So we're looking forward to a new season, and we're going to get jump-started with our first episode in that new season by having a conversation with a third-year medical student from Wisconsin, Nora Cowley. We're going to have a chance to talk to her about her journey of faith and how she became a student leader with CMDA. But a huge part of her journey and her story was having to wrestle through the trauma and grief of a sexual assault. And Nora is going to discuss how that sexual assault impacted her journey to faith, as well as her calling to medical school. So let's dive into our conversation with Nora Cowley on this episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. Well, I'm here with Nora Cowley. Nora, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thanks for joining us for this. Actually, we are going to be making this the inaugural episode of our third season with the Student Pulse Podcast. So I'm glad you're able to be a part of our time together.
Oh, that's exciting. I didn't know it was going to be the first one.
Well, we're jump-starting another season of the podcast as we start this new academic year. And so, we're getting things right out of the gate. And let me introduce you to the listeners. Nora, you're a third-year student at Medical College of Wisconsin, and you're originally from Boston, which is Boston.
Yep.
Yeah, I lived in New England for a couple of years. You went to the University of Connecticut for the undergraduate and graduate degrees in biomedical engineering, and also I've got a fun fact that you are a tap dancer. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep, indeed I am.
Well, the podcast is not about tap dancing, but just briefly answer this. How did you get into tap dancing?
Well, I started dance at a pretty young age. I think that's pretty typical for a lot of young girls. So I did a bunch of different types of dance growing up, like ballet and tap and jazz and lyrical and hip hop. But then when I went to college, there was a different group for every type of dance. So I kind of had to pick what my favorite was.
Okay.
And I always liked tap the best. And I always felt like I was the most talented at it. So I joined the club at UConn. And I actually was the president during my senior year. So it's something that I was very devoted to. And I continue to tap dance today. I take adult classes at a downtown studio in Milwaukee. So it's just something to relieve the stress of medical school.
Oh, yeah. You need a hobby. You need an outlet. You can't just be studying all the time, although it may feel that way. It's good to have those outlets. So let's move along, because I know, again, we're not talking about dancing, but I did want to have an opportunity to have you share your story. And Nora, you're a leadership, you're a student leader that is at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And before we kind of back up and kind of talk about your story, how you've came to this point, just tell us a little bit about what, you know, led you to CMDA and what led you to take on an opportunity of leadership within the ministry there in Wisconsin.
So when I came to medical school, obviously there was like a student organization event where there was kind of the opportunity to get to know a bunch of different organizations. Mm-hmm. And prior to coming to MCW, I had never heard of CMDA before, so I didn't even know that that was going to be something that was an option for me in medical school. And I had done crew in college, and I kind of had gotten connected to having that group of peer believers at school. So I was really hoping that CMDA could kind of be something similar. And actually, I think it's been so much more than just that for me, especially with the connections with physicians that are in CMDA and other like residents and students. It's just been a really great way to get to know people. And I think that medicine can be a really isolating place as a Christian, which is unfortunate. But I think that having that group of believers that I can turn to has just been a great way to support me in this journey and this career whenever I come into a tricky situation or have to deal with something that's ethically challenging. So I just really liked the group, and I felt motivated to lead as a Bible study leader and then also to be president of it during my second year. And I loved doing that. I think I got to know so many of the members so well, and also got involved with some of the conferences and some of the bigger things that CMDA does. And I just think it's such a great organization. And I think it's so useful for medical students and dental students as well. We don't have a dental school, but I know that other places do. So that's kind of why I got involved.
Well, there's certainly a story leading up to that point. And again, we're wanting to hear your story. We know that every listener out there has a different story. We do trust, though, that the common theme that unites all of our stories is God's working in and through our life in His divine ways. But I want to kind of start us off with your background a little bit. Did you grow up going to church?
Yeah, so I grew up, I would say, nominally Catholic. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a city where the public school system wasn't great. So my parents' solution for that was to send us to the Catholic school that was in the area. And while I went to Catholic school, my parents kind of attended church semi-regularly, and we would go with them. My dad had grown up Protestant, I think, but very loosely Protestant. Mm-hmm. And my mom was raised Catholic. So they kind of, just meshed together, and we went to Catholic church. I was an altar server. I was in the choir. I definitely did all of those step-by-step things, but I don't think I truly understood the gospel or ever really even heard it at my church. Mm-hmm. Until I got to college. So that's kind of like how I grew up.
Well, before we get to college, we're going to get into a real challenging discussion as you share a really hard time that happened when you were 14. There was, and I'll let you just kind of explain it. There's something that happened at 14, and this is a big part of your story and testimony.
Yeah. So when I was 14, as a typical eighth grader, I think I struggled a lot with being bullied in school and feeling kind of socially isolated. And because of that, I had a neighbor who was quite a bit older than me and paid attention to me. It was a male neighbor. And we kind of became friends just because I had no other friends. And I felt connected to him just because he paid attention to me. And then it turned out that that was probably one of the worst relationships I've ever had in my life, because it led to a really tragic experience that's hard for me to describe sometimes, so I'll do my best. But one time I was, alone with him, and I was young and naive and didn't think of how that would be irresponsible or not wise, because I was only 14, so I feel like it's hard to really know these things at that age. And he ended up sexually assaulting me at his house. And I just remember afterwards feeling just so in shock that it had happened. And when I got back to my house, I actually was in the kitchen and I pulled a knife and I essentially told my mom that I was going to kill myself. And she understandably freaked out and called an ambulance, and I went to the hospital. But all through this, it was so traumatic and just stressful that I did not tell anyone really what had happened. I think my mom knew I'd been at his house, but she didn't know what had happened there. And I can't remember her ever asking me, to be honest, if he had done something to me. I think she thought that it was something out of my own choice. Mm. I mean, I don't know exactly what she knew or how she felt about it. We haven't discussed it a lot, to be honest, but I was young and I didn't understand a lot about sex or sexual assault. And I really just, for the longest time, blamed myself. And I just didn't understand why someone could do this to me, or, you know, what did I do to deserve it? And why was I to blame? And I think a lot of young girls and women have that kind of initial reaction. We always want to try to find something that we did that put us in a bad spot and led to this other person doing something to us. So I think through most of high school, I really wrestled with that. And I felt abandoned by God. So prior to that, I'd always felt like I kind of believed in God. Mm-hmm. But after this happened to me, I was like, there's no way that there can be a God who would let something so terrible happen to me. Like, why would he let me suffer like this? Mm. And that was kind of the pain and the abandonment that I felt in that moment. And I just rejected everything Christ-like after that. I was like, I'm not going to church. I don't believe in this anymore. I'm an atheist now. The world is a terrible place. It was a really, really dark, sad time to have those kinds of perspectives of the world. But that's essentially what happened. I don't know if you have any questions or anything.
Yeah. I mean, so you kept this hidden, I mean, private. You didn't share it or disclose it to anybody. And you were bearing the weight of that during your high school years and beyond. Is that correct? You were taking that on, the weight of your shoulders. And in the course of it, from what I'm hearing you say, it led to a disconnect from God, believing that how could a good and loving God allow this to happen? Which would be a natural question, be a natural reaction. Did it lead to any other mental health issues like depression or how are you coping through this? How were you able to cope?
I was very, very depressed through this time. Luckily, my parents got me into therapy, and I do think that that helped me a lot. But until I was saved, I think that I put all of my healing and all of my value in relationships. So I tried to form healthy relationships with other guys in high school and college that, looking back, were still unhealthy, but they seemed healthier to me from an earthly perspective. And I also put so much stock into making friends and being popular and just kind of like driven towards like success with people. And I thought that that would heal me. I thought that, you know, just focusing on that and finding people that I could look at and say, this person loves me, would fix how I felt about myself and how depressed I was about what had happened to me. Long story short, that didn't work, because that kind of love that I was getting from people was not a Christ-like love. It was not a love that was going to sustain years and years. It was not the same kind of love that Christ gives us, or that the way that we love God, or the way that we love one another as believers. It was an empty love. Yeah. And it took me a while to figure that out.
Well, let's kind of turn the corner in the story, because, I mean, from the sexual assault, it really led to you, in effect, giving up on God in your life. And he probably was irrelevant to you. You had no reason to worship him or to want to love him, follow him. But something changed. I mean, even though you'd given up on God, truth is God hadn't given up on you. And you're in college. You're at University of Connecticut. You're home for winter break. And then your parents ask you, what do they ask you?
So my mom and my stepdad at the time had started going to this new church that was, I would consider it a non-denominational church. Mm-hmm. And at the time, like, they don't attend anymore, but at the time I was really grateful that they did, because my mom one weekend was just saying, hey, why don't you come to service? Like, we're all going to go to church. And deep down, I really wanted to say no. I really just wanted to be like, I'm not interested. I'd rather sit here and watch TV or do something else on my winter break that's, you know, something fun.
Right.
And I don't know, something pulled me or something moved me. And now I really do believe that that was God's work in my heart to just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go. And I feel like part of it was I was trying to please my parents. And then I think another part of it was just this reaction to God working in my heart. And I went to this service, and while I was sitting there, you know, at first I was just half paying attention, not really listening, kind of just thinking, okay, I'm here. This is a very different experience than a Catholic service, and just feeling like it was just so different. And the sermon was about persevering in your faith, even when it's hard and even when you're suffering. And as the pastor was talking, I started to tune in a little more, and I started thinking about how much I'd suffered in the last 5 or 6 years, however long. I think it had been like 5 years at that point since the assault. And I just remember him saying something along the lines of, it's through our pain and our suffering that God truly transforms us. He's with us during these experiences more than ever. Mm-hmm. I remember just sitting there kind of thinking, everything that I had been doing prior to that point was not working. Nothing was fixing this problem for me. And I was sinning, and that wasn't helping. Like, nothing was bringing me the true happiness and the true salvation that I was desiring. And God really just softened my heart in that moment. And I gave myself up to Christ after that day. And I said, okay, God, like, I'm trusting you that you used this experience I went through to bring me to you. Cause I don't know if it would have happened this way, you know, had I not experienced something so tragic that I could see like the redemptive work of Christ and how he is with us during our suffering, how he protected me from not committing suicide and, you know, not harming myself in that way. And just knowing that he was always there with me, even if in the moment I felt like he wasn't, I could look back and just notice all the ways in which God had protected me and just kept turning me towards him.
So, Nora, you come to saving faith through this experience. How did you deal with forgiveness? Because now you're coming to grips with God's, you know, your forgiveness before God, that he's forgiven you, that he has sent his son to reconcile you in a right relationship with your Heavenly Father. Forgiveness is a big part. How are you able, or how have you been able to not just address the vertical forgiveness, but what about horizontally? Forgiving the person who assaulted you, maybe forgiving others who weren't there for you when you thought you needed them. I mean, how have you dealt with the forgiveness in your relationships?
That's a great question. It's hard. It's very, very hard. I originally don't think I was fully there. Obviously, I never pressed charges. I never pursued some sense of earthly justice surrounding this assault. But I told myself, like, there will be justice in the end. And I think at this point, I kind of felt bad for the person who assaulted me, which sounds crazy, but I think as a Christian, we can understand that we are all sinners and we are all gripped by that. And that is a unique trait that we all share. Even if his sin that he committed against me may look worse than sins that I committed from an earthly perspective, it's still just the result of our broken nature. Mm. So I think, like, I ultimately prayed for his salvation and for him to forgive himself and for him to realize what he had done to me and realize that it was wrong. And I've never spoken to him since, and I don't intend to, but I just pray that, like, God will give everybody else that has harmed me the kind of saving faith that I now have. Mm. So I think that's kind of how I dealt with it, is just coming to the realization that everybody is gripped by sin, like, in this world. You know, Jesus is the only one who wasn't. And just knowing that, like, I didn't deserve the salvation that I have.
Right.
Like, I don't expect anyone else to be deserving of it either. So I think I just try to have more compassion and forgiveness for him and also for myself. That was really hard too, was for me to forgive myself for the situation. So I think that was something that just I really had to work on. And I just had to remind myself how much God loved me to save me, and then find myself, like, being able to love myself because of that and because of his grace. Mm. And through that, found forgiveness.
You found forgiveness and freedom, sounds like.
Yeah.
We know we live in a broken world, and it continues to be broken, and there's going to be all kinds of other challenges, and it continues to be in our lives, and you probably still experienced suffering and pain and frustration, disappointment, anxiety. There's all kinds of, medical school certainly is not an easy endeavor, and you're going through trials and difficulties and tribulations, but you mentioned there's something you kind of hold on to during those times as you kind of remember what Christ has done for you. You talked about that footprints in the sand prayer, which was something meaningful to you.
Yeah, I love that prayer. I have always loved it. For the listeners, I'll read the verses that I tend to remind myself of. So the author writes, "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." The Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Mm. And I think that imagery is just so powerful, like thinking of God as a father figure, just scooping you up and holding you close and carrying you during your trials and your struggles. And I think that's really what happened to me, like during this experience. I think that God was caring for me through all of that pain and suffering, even though I did not see it at first. I always look back at that. I always think back to that when I'm struggling with something or going through a difficult time.
Yeah. I also love the fact that he calls us precious, precious, beloved. I don't know if you've ever read Henry Nouwen's books. He has a book called
The Life of the Beloved.
Life of the Beloved.
I have read that one, yes.
The quote that I pulled from that book, "The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity and held safe in an everlasting embrace." Such a great book and a reminder of the gospel and that we are deeply loved and accepted because of Christ, what he has done for us. And we can rest in that. We can find security in that. And yeah, that's where hope and the ability for us to persevere is found, is in the gospel, and the gospel which has his love and grace and mercy. So that's great. Let me ask you one last question as we kind of wrap up your story, because you do find yourself here in, medical school. Did your past experience, your journey, has it impacted your decision to go into medicine? Is there any relationship with what God's called you to do now with your story?
Yeah, I think that's also a really great question. So when I was in college, I joined a sorority, Alpha Chi Omega, and their philanthropy was domestic violence awareness, which has a huge intertwining with sexual assault. I mean, not all domestic violence is sexual, but a lot of times it is. And I've shared my story with other women who have also been assaulted as an encouragement to them to persevere and make it through. And I think that in medicine, a lot of women carry this in secret. Mm-hmm. And I just hope and I pray that through my career, I will have opportunities and God will present me with opportunities to share my story with patients and to encourage them to confide in someone, because I think that it can be really freeing to talk about it. And for a while, it was impossible for me to do that. And I think that God has certainly given me the strength to do that. And then also being able to share the gospel with people who have survived domestic violence, I think is just so powerful an opportunity. And I think there are many opportunities in medicine to share the gospel with people who are sick and suffering. And I think that whole perspective has been part of the reason why I chose to pursue a medical career. And I'm really glad I did.
Well, I know your patients are going to be tremendously blessed to have you as their physician. And let me ask, I think you kind of touched on some of this and some of the things you just said, but I want to kind of give you a chance to speak to the listeners. They're going to be some that have maybe a similar experience, or maybe they're dealing with their suffering in silence. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them? What might you do to counsel them? Just quickly, as you think about how God has dealt with you and worked through this experience in your life.
Yeah. So for anyone listening who's been through a similar situation, know that you're not alone. I mean, this world can feel so isolating amongst all the suffering and pain. And even if you don't want to share your story with other people, just know that there are people out there that have been through that and experienced it and still can believe in God and believe in His grace and His power and His mercy. And if you're struggling with, you know, your relationship with God after suffering something as terrible as being assaulted, I just pray for them and want them to know that God is still there. He's still holding you. He still loves you. He's still caring for you. He's not the reason this happened to you. The brokenness of the world is the reason this happened to you. And lastly, I would encourage them to, you know, talk with someone that they trust. You know, if it's a believer, even better. You're also welcome to share my contact information if anyone listening to this would like to reach out to me and talk with me about it.
Sure.
Happy to do that.
Yeah. Would you mind just sharing your email address? We'll probably give that out, and then I'll also put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah. So my email address is norahjc96@gmail.com.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes as well. But no, thank you for giving that invitation. I would imagine there's going to be some individuals who hear the story and would like to reach out to you personally, because they've heard you share out of your, yes, there's brokenness, but also the redemption and the way that you are have been able to communicate God's redemptive hand upon you and His grace and mercy. I think it will draw some to, I think, want to seek you out. And so I'm thankful for making yourself available as people may want to reach out.
Sure.
Nora, I want to thank you for certainly your leadership and what a witness to the gospel and to Jesus Christ you are at MCW. And I'm just grateful that you're part of CMDA. And the beauty of this ministry is it's a journey. I know that you talked about the impact you'll make with patients, but I trust in the years ahead as you move through your professional career that you will be making a tremendous impact on the next generation that comes behind you, being able to build into the lives of young men and women who are wanting to understand what does it mean to follow Jesus, follow Christ within medicine. And I think you're going to have a lot to share and a lot that you can bring to the table that you'll be able to invest into the lives of others. So thank you for that. And I want to thank you for your courage, too, and for your willingness to be transparent and to share what is a difficult experience with so many others. I think, to your point, it reminds us that we're not alone. And yet our stories all being different, we all live out of brokenness. And there's been struggles, disappointments, tragedies. But the thing that we can commonly cling to, the thing that we can know for certain, is that we serve and we follow and we worship a tremendous, loving, merciful, and great God whom we can trust and who we can give Him our lives. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I consider it a privilege and a blessing to be able to be here and share this story, because if it weren't for God, I might not be here today. So I really do love, now that I have gotten over the situation, sharing it with other people and just trying to bring the gospel to people who maybe have not heard it before and just share it with them in a very powerful way. And I think that is just such a gift that God has given me. And I'm truly grateful for this invite to come and talk on this podcast. This will be my first podcast ever, so that's kind of exciting.
All right. Well, fantastic. You did great. And thanks again, Nora.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it's that time of the podcast, as you heard with our little kazoo, that these are things that you need to know. Again, I just want to thank Nora for being transparent and honest and real as she shared her story. And as you heard her say, that she would be welcome to any comments or questions if you want to reach out to her. She's offered her personal email address. And let me repeat that again. Of course, we'll have it in the show notes, but it's Nora, NORAHJC96@gmail.com. And again, we'll have that information as well as all the things that we're about to talk about in our show notes. And our show notes, well, where can you find those? Well, you can find them on cmdastudentlife.org/pulsepodcast. And there you're going to find show notes of not just this episode, but all previous episodes of our Student Pulse podcast. Also, we want to just kind of draw your attention to one of the tools that has been a significant communication and connecting hub with CMDA National, and that is the CMDA Student Life app. Now, if you haven't had a chance to download it onto your smartphone, do it now. This app has all kinds of tools and resources, but a couple of things I want to highlight right now are devotions that we are dropping into the app twice a week. On Mondays and Thursdays, you're going to get a fresh devotional from a Dr. Dan Jones. These are just great ways to kind of start the day, to kind of get your mind and your mindset and your eyes set and fixed upon Christ. Also, we have a bunch of Bible studies, and we have a whole host of different types of studies, but let me highlight just two. They're both by Dr. David Goodman, who is a OB-GYN down in Central Florida, working with our ministry there. But he's written two studies, Teach Us to Pray on the Lord's Prayer, but also a series on the Book of James. And both of these studies, they can be done individually or in a small group. I would encourage you to take a look, download them. Now, these studies are exclusive on the app. You can't find them anywhere else but the CMDA Student Life app. So download the app. Set up a profile so you can get the most out of the app and start engaging with the content. There's plenty there to connect you, inspire you, encourage you, and help you in your journey and your faith walk with Jesus Christ. Also, I would invite you to check out the whole host, the family of CMDA podcasts that we have. If you go to cmda.org/podcast, you're going to see a family of different podcasts that we offer in addition to this Student Pulse podcast. CMDA Matters is our flagship podcast where Dr. Mike Chupp, our CEO of CMDA, has a whole host of guests and discussions and conversations that you don't want to miss. So check out our entire family of podcasts at cmda.org/podcasts. And as always, we're on the socials. You can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Just simply look for the handle CMDA Student Life and you'll find us there. And you can get a lot of updated, very relevant and quick information about what's going on with CMDA. So check out our social media platforms. Well, we're looking forward to this season of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast, and we're looking forward to seeing you next time. Take care.
CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on Student Pulse Podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse Podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.